to the political cesspool known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the third and final hour of the Political Cesspool radio program. I am your host, James Edwards, and what an honor it is to be with you tonight, joined by Winston Smith and Eddie the Bombardier Miller. We spent the entire second hour, excessively to an extent, discussing the evolution of our program's relationship with Sheriff Paul Bebeau of Pinal County, Arizona, and why this has become such a big media story. If you want to retrace any of that, we're not going to recap it right here, but you can go back a little bit later on tonight to the second hour of the broadcast archives and go from there. Now, where we left off, we had thought that it was John McCain. He is in the middle of a hotly contested race to retain his Senate seat with Congressman J.D. Hayworth. And of course, John McCain, being as politically correct as he is, he doesn't take to negative media attention, even if it is unwarranted and false, as a lot of the media coverage about our program always is. Nevertheless, we think that Paul Bebeau has been handled by John McCain. He is a very prominent figure in the McCain campaign, Bebeau is, and we think that is what has been the determining factor in this radical and bizarre about face by Sheriff Bebeau. Now, it didn't leave off there, though, and it never does. When you begin to apologize and waffle and fall on your sword, you think that it's going to curry favor with those who are attacking you. Never does that occur. What happens then is that they pile on you with even more vengeance. What Paul Bebeau should have known is that the media who opposes the viewpoints, the Christian paleoconservative viewpoints of the Political Cesspool radio program, the same media who opposes us, oppose everything that Paul Bebeau stands for. Why would he want their favor? He's never going to get it. They've never supported him to begin with. And since they've never supported him to begin with, they're not going to support him in the future. What they want to do is to divide and conquer. They want to stifle any proactive activity that is taking place between two conservative entities. In this case, it was the political cesspool and the Pinal County Sheriff's Office. So, again, not only did it make Sheriff Bebeau look foolish, and if you go to our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, a few of the blog entries that we've dedicated covering the story pertain to, or showcase, I should say, some television interviews that Paul Bebeau has done. He looks, and I hate to say this because I do think he's done a great job as sheriff, he looks foolish. The media can obviously tell by the nature of his conversation on air, if nothing more, that he, in fact, did associate with us before the interview. They think it is highly unlikely that he didn't know the nature of our show, even if we didn't tell him, although we did, but even if we didn't tell him what we stand for. You Google the political cesspool, it doesn't look hard to find. They pointed out that as reporters, they were able to find it in 45 seconds. These people are cops, and they're claiming that they had no idea and that they were, quote, hoodwinked. Well, as I said, long story short, it didn't do them any good to spread these falsehoods to the media, and it didn't make the attack stop. In fact, it only made more come. Now, Sheriff Bebeau is under attack for appearing on the Alex Jones show, because Alex Jones is somewhat of a paleo-libertarian. They call him a conspiracy theorist, but he's right about a lot of things. And so now, Sheriff Bebeau is under almost an equal amount of media scrutiny for appearing on the Alex Jones show before he came on our show. And just like he did with us, Paul Bebeau said he didn't know who Alex Jones was. The man has a multi-million dollar radio empire. He's on countless Clear Channel radio stations. You don't know who Alex Jones is? You never looked into Alex Jones? You didn't know he was an extremist? And they called, that's not my word, that's what they say. They called Alex Jones an extremist. And he goes on TV and says, I didn't know who he was. I'm sorry. I didn't know. We didn't check. Winston, he looks, that just doesn't look good.
No, it doesn't, James, and you chose the right word. It makes him look foolish, and I would also add it makes him look pathetic. But James, the bottom line of this story is that once again, this man wanted to talk about the signature issue of Arizona and actually of the entire country, which is illegal immigration. He wanted to talk about that because he agrees with us on this issue. And yet now he has to deal with spurious accusations that he's a racist. And James, what this reminds me of is what happened several weeks back when Israeli stormtroopers boarded that aid ship going to Gaza, and they shot, I forget how many people they killed and wounded. I think it was a good number of people they killed and wounded, and yet the only thing that came out of that was that Helen Thomas got fired because she said something disparaging about Israel.
Well, and that's the kind of, not to interrupt, but that is the kind of pressure and power and influence that these folks have. And you know, it gets back to the point. You know, this is a man who can stand up to having his life threatened, waves off the ability to have security detail because he thinks his county budget is stretched too thin, obviously a great fiscal conservative. And, you know, he can stand up to that, but he can't stand up to the media calling him a racist, even though we told him in advance that there was a possibility, our program is very well known, very famous, that this could happen. But instead of responding as Pat Buchanan did, he did the thing that assured him a surefire recipe for disaster. And so, you know, again, this is the power of the cultural Marxists. This is the power of political correctness. You got a brave man like Paul Bebeau on the run because he's been called a six-letter word that begins with R.
Yeah. Well, as I was saying, James, this whole thing is a classic distraction. There are Americans dying daily because of illegal immigrants. They're finding dozens of bodies in dumps along the U.S.-Mexican border, and people are dying, people are suffering, American citizens are suffering, and yet the only issue they can find to talk about in illegal immigration is Paul Bebeau appearing on the political cesspool? How screwed up are they?
All right, Winston.
Just like Helen Thomas, you know, it was an American on that aid ship for Gaza, and he got four bullets pumped into his skull from Israeli stormtroopers, and the solution to the problem was fire Helen Thomas?
All right, you're on fire right here. You're exactly right, and this is something that I wanted to make mention of in the second hour. You're right, okay? So America is on the brink of becoming a third world flophouse. As I said on CNN, you can't have a first world nation with a third world population. We are being inundated with illegal alien criminals who seek to take advantage of the benefits of America without assimilating and respecting our history, heroes, and heritage. And so, look, this is something that is very dangerous. The very existence of the American experiment as we've known it throughout our history stands to be completely washed away. This is something we have to enforce our laws. We have to secure our border. We have to enforce our laws. This man is down there. He's trying to do it. This is the story. And yet now they are, and to a great extent, he has allowed this to happen by the way he has responded to this pressure. But by apologizing, he has allowed himself to let this story mushroom. But this is what they're focusing on. You're right. The story is, will America survive or will it be forever changed for the worse? That's the story. That's it. We got to secure our border. And they're focusing on a single radio interview that this sheriff has done, and it's completely overshadowing the debate. But, you know, of course, Winston, that is exactly what they want. They want that to happen. They want us to be sidetracked in these never-ending debates. And unfortunately, Paul Bebeau, for whatever reason, I tend to think it was John McCain's, mandate that he respond in this way, but it was terrible, and he has been made to look weak. And it's certainly been a disservice to our stand on this issue, which is support of the rule of law and strict border security. Winston, we got 30 seconds to the end of this break. I'll give you a word, and then we'll pick it up right after this.
Well, before we left for the last segment, I had posed a question to Eddie the Bombardier Miller, and I don't think he got his answer in, so I'll have to ask him now. Eddie, are you willing to make your phone records available to refute what has been put out in the media?
That is an affirmative. That is a yes, a positive. You better know I will.
Well, there you have it, media people who are listening to this broadcast this evening. If you want the truth, if you want to know who is shooting straight with you, you just contact the political cesspool, and once again, we, the bad guys, will be proven right.
We'll be back right after this.
Don't go away. There's more political cesspool coming your way right after these messages. Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right. Welcome back, my friends, to this evening's episode, this evening's offering of the political cesspool, the South's foremost populist radio program. James Edwards has stepped away from the microphone, leaving it in the hands of yours truly, Winston Smith, and none other than Eddie the Bombardier Miller. Eddie the Bombardier Miller. Sorry, folks, getting a little tongue-tied here. It's always my pleasure to be on the air with Eddie Miller, and we were reminiscing about the old days when we all gathered at the WLRM studios with snakes and broken air conditioners and all. good times, were they, Eddie?
Well, I'll tell you what. Do you remember when the snake got caught in the printer out there, Winston?
Yeah, I remember that one. It was an awful smell, and the snake was frying in the thing.
And once the snake, do you remember when the snake got caught in the wiring where they had the huge computers out there?
In the transmitter room.
Yeah, they had to shut the whole station down.
They had to shut it down.
Those were the good old days, man. I tell you what. Yeah. You know, and the rules were a lot more relaxed in those days. We could say pretty much what we wanted to say. We could let our I guess like they say, like the yippies say, we could let our true self hang out. You know, we could get in touch with our redneck side.
Well, I still maintain that even though those were the good old days, my friend, our best days are yet to come. We've been doing this for 6 years now, and a good many of those years, it's been my pleasure to share the air with you, and I look forward to many more years doing so.
I remember, Winston, before I joined the cesspool crew, you were my very favorite. I hardly knew who James Edwards was. I looked at James like somebody in the way. Winston was my big fan.
I do remember that. Well, we've got to get back to the issue at hand, and this dust up in which we find ourselves, and it's a dust up that I regale in. This is good, because finally, as I said earlier, Eddie, the media is finally talking right about us. We are an openly pro-white program, and folks, there is nothing wrong with that. I want you to understand that. If you are white and if you are proud to be white, if you love your race, there is nothing wrong with that, and you need to steer clear of anybody who would say otherwise, because they are not going to serve you well. But let's get back to the topic at hand. Folks, we've been talking about the Sheriff Babu from Arizona and his appearance on the political cesspool and his subsequent appearances in state of Arizona media, and I think in some national media. And it has not done well for him. The fact of the matter is he is an associate of John McCain, and John McCain is going to suffer for this. Because John McCain himself is an invertebrate on this topic. It's only recently that he has found a little bit of spine to say something about illegal immigration. And should he be reelected, all that talk will be dismissed, and he'll go back to his normal self of demanding amnesty for illegal aliens, just like a ship will return to its home port. Now, Eddie.
And that's, I didn't mean to cut you off. I thought you were going to ask you a question, Winston.
I'm sorry, what was that?
I was going to ask you a question.
Lay it on me.
And it has to do with Senator McCain. You know, Senator McCain is the senator, one of the senators from Arizona, and as we well know, and you know, he's no dummy when it comes to testing the political wind. And when they just passed this this immigration reform bill out there, I don't remember the numbers, but
SB 1070.
1070. Hey, I should have known you would know it, intellectual one, that giant brain of yours. But anyway, you know, the way I've been able to, what I've heard, about 70%, you know, of the landslide election, if they were to hold one on that, if they had to hold an election on it, the most of the people in Arizona favor that move, you know, by overwhelming margin. And since McCain is coming up for election in the state of Arizona, do you think that's why he is, in my opinion, he's been using the sheriff? Because the sheriff is a hardcore law enforcement sheriff. He wants to. Do you think he used this sheriff to try to bolster his image, to try to get away from that image of being the amnesty senator?
Oh, no doubt. John McCain is a politician, and that is practically a species. He is a politician. And that means he will default to certain certain modes and certain actions as though they were instinctive. And in this case, he sees that that 70% of Americans support the Arizona immigration law, and I think an even greater percentage of Arizonans support that support the law. And so, yes, he's trying to ride the coattails of that popularity. Of that law, and as I said, once if he is reelected, once the election is done, he will return to his usual amnesty for illegals tune that he has been singing for the past several years. But really, Eddie, this entire episode, this entire attack on Sheriff Babu, and this attack on us. Is really a natural extension of the hatred that illegals have, that even the Obama administration has for Americans in general, and or for America in general, and Americans in particular, especially white Americans. Now, over and over again, Obama has stood against Americans in principle and with America's avowed enemies. Remember these things, Eddie. More than 70% of Americans were against Obama's health care plan, and yet he forced it through against the will of the American people. More than 70% of Americans are for Arizona's illegal immigration abatement law, and yet he is taking the state of Arizona to federal court to stop them. When Felipe Calderon, the president of Mexico, showed up in America, I assume something like legally, Obama agreed with him in his criticism of America in general and Arizona in particular. Now, Arizona Senator Kyle has reported that Obama is intentionally risking the safety of Arizonans as a way to get his own comprehensive immigration reform enacted. In other words, John Kyle said he had a meeting with Obama, and he asked Obama why he would not deploy more troops to the border, why he would not build the wall, and he said that Obama's answer was, if he did all that, then people would not have any reason to support his comprehensive immigration reform. Now, Eddie, this is a president who has gone against the American people time and time again. And in this immigration issue, he is ready and willing to risk the safety of American citizens for his own political agenda. And I don't know about you, Eddie, but to me, that sounds something like treason. What do you think?
You nailed it, my brother. As a matter of fact, the first night we had the sheriff owned July the 10th, I believe that point was made up. That point was also brought up on the Alex Jones show when the sheriff agreed with Alex Jones that made Alex Jones called him an out-and-out traitor. Like, you know, you and I would, I believe, would agree that the president, we have a traitorous president in there. When he sides with a foreign president, it gets his own people And the president, now the sheriff didn't go so far as to say he was that the president committed treason because he pointed out the fact that...
Hey, Eddie, I want to hold it up right there. I'm back, guys. I'm back. Had to go into the green room and bask in the glow of my celebrity for a minute, but I'm back. I'm going to talk about the Alex Jones treason accusation when we come back.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. Gentlemen, I know back towards the end of that previous segment, we were talking about the assertion made by Alex Jones that Obama... is, in fact, a traitor. And I'll tell you, you know, when you openly and publicly side with the president of Mexico in a political issue directly related to the sovereignty of one of our states, this being Arizona, as they are trying to secure the border, that's, yeah, I don't think you can get much closer to it than that. I mean, you know, and that's what Alex Jones was saying. That's what y'all were talking about towards the end of the last segment. I'll let y'all continue the conversation. Of course, Sheriff Babu, for all intents and purposes, agreed with Alex Jones' assessment. But now, of course, he's saying, you know, he didn't say that, even though the audio proves that he did.
Well, I heard him say it myself because I happened to be listening to the Alex Jones show that day. And Winston and I were talking about it at the break. And he said that, Alex Jones said that he thinks that the president has committed treason, and the sheriff said that he was borderline. He said the sheriff said he couldn't call him a traitor because he was still a uniformed officer in the United States Army. And I was at the break, when we were on break, James, I asked Winston a question, and he did it really good. He dissected it very well. And Winston, I'm going to pose that question to you again. Now, Sheriff Babu, but, you know, as everybody knows, he's got a reputation of being tough on enforcing the national and the state laws and enforcing the illegal immigration laws. Could it be possible that he did not know that McCain, the man he's supporting strongly, he's one of his biggest supporters, could it be possible he could be so naive or to be so lacking in knowledge about what's going on? Could he not know that the Senator McCain had a reputation of being called the amnesty president? Go for it, Winston.
No, there is no way he could not have known that. Sheriff Babu is, you know, for all of his experience and all of his reputation as being his rightly deserved reputation as being a tough lawman, he is now a politician. And politics is a lot about not just guilt by association, but status by association. And Sheriff Babu, I'm sure he's done his homework, and he knows that the incumbent in a political office has the best chance of winning. I think the latest figures say that Americans send incumbents back to office, I think 89% of the time or something like that. It's just a terrible thing to think about, but Americans send their incumbents back. Now, knowing that John McCain is up for re-election, and knowing that the statistics say that Arizonans will send John McCain back, that is, they will give John McCain the victory, Sheriff Babu knows that it's better to be associated with the winner, and so he's taking a calculated risk here. He's taking a gamble that John McCain is going to win, and he wants to be associated with the winning side. But as you know, we've said before tonight that Sheriff Babu is probably an honorable man. I think, in my opinion, his honorable status has dropped significantly because of his behavior over the past few days. But in this case, he's a politician. And in politics, you associate with those who win. And in this case, he is taking a gamble, he's taking a risk that John McCain is going to win. If John McCain does not win, if J.D. Hayworth wins, then Sheriff Babu is going to be in a very bad way politically, because the guy that he supports is being thrown out on his ear, as he should be. McCain is pretty much like Arlen Specter was. Arlen Specter was he jumped out of the Republican Party, became a Democrat. In his own words, because in his own words, he knew that was the way to get reelected. He wasn't interested in service. He wasn't interested in fulfilling his oath. He was interested in getting reelected, and that's what John McCain has done with his very shocking turnaround on the illegal immigration issue, going from being the amnesty senator, the amnesty presidential candidate, to now being a guy who's banging the drum hard for border control, for closed borders, for extending this tidal wave. He's doing the same thing that Arlen Specter did, and I hope the good people of Arizona can buck the trend of sending incumbents back in this case, because John McCain is not serving Arizona. John McCain is serving John McCain. And and people are going to say, how can you say that about a decorated war veteran and a POW camp survivor? Well, look, that I don't want to say this, but it's true nonetheless. That was a long time ago, and that has nothing to do with what John McCain is today. He is a politician. He is a career politician, and his status as a former prisoner of war is irrelevant in this day. That does not say we don't honor him for his service. That does not say we don't respect him for his fortitude under extreme circumstances. But honoring him and continuing to send him back into political office time after time are two very different things. They're non sequiturs. Just because he acquitted himself so well at the Hanoi Hilton does not mean that he is automatically going to acquit himself well on Capitol Hill.
Well, and Winston, let me also say this. I mean, it goes without saying that he has spent his entire political career basically serving the powers that be, the cultural Marxist. He has certainly been an enemy of this country with regard to the immigration issue, and that is just about as blunt as you could make it. I mean, John McCain has absolutely advocated against America, against American sovereignty, against that which the people in this country want, which is a secure border. He's advocated against that for countless years. Not only has he advocated against it, he and Teddy Kennedy were the biggest proponents of illegal alien amnesty back a couple of years prior. So that being said, there's no doubt that Sheriff Babu could not have known these facts. What the speculation is, and I've read about this in some of the newspaper interviews that have been covering this developing story, is that Sheriff Babu certainly has political aspirations above and beyond the office he currently holds. And he thought that by hitching his wagon to McCain, that would be a fast track to greatness. Who doesn't want a fast track to greatness? But when it comes at the expense of your honor and integrity, and when you have to hang people like us who are truly in this for the right reasons, in service to a cause greater than ourselves, when you have to hang people like us out to dry, people who don't get paid to do the work that we do, everything that we do on this radio show is done on a volunteer basis. We've done it for 6 years. We've done an incredible job, if I do say so myself. But we need, and we encourage those listening tonight to contribute to our work, because without your donations, we don't exist. We can't get corporate sponsors, because corporate sponsors don't advertise with people who speak the truth. So that being said, you know, we're the ones out here living off the land, keeping this show on the air. We're truly sacrificing for these causes and these ideas. And we're the ones who have been hung out to dry by Babu when he is, continuing to support a man who has certainly fought against the will of the American people on immigration, John McCain. So that's the speculation. He wanted to, use his influence with McCain, his relationship with McCain, as a stepping stone to a bigger office. And in doing so, he compromised his morals and certainly didn't win himself any favor with the media. And you put all that together and you get the story that's out there in Arizona right now, the previous week. And I think, gentlemen, this will continue to be a story for the next month. That this primary election between John McCain and J.D. Hayworth will be decided next month. And I think that this will continue to be an issue. The Bebue-McCain relationship with the political cesspool will continue to be an issue until that race is decided. So, you know, and it didn't have to be that way. All he had to do was say, listen, I like these guys. You got it all wrong. You know, I'm not going to apologize. And the media would have had nothing to feed off of. But now they've got something. And it's a shame that it all played out that way. I think we've already made that clear. But and we do, for the record, wish Sheriff Bebue the best going forward. But as men of honor, we wanted to set the record straight about some of the things that have been said about us. And we've been spending a lot of time tonight doing that at the expense of some other issues that are probably, in the grand scheme of things, more important. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back and wrap up the entire program with Winston Smith and Eddie the Bombardier Miller. I'm James Edwards. Don't go anywhere. The political cesspool concludes right after this.
Don't go away. The political cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We'll return. We'll return. We'll return. We'll return.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. Final segment of tonight's enthralling live broadcast, the political cesspool radio program, award-winning show. We've been named honorary city councilman from Memphis, Tennessee, for our outstanding contributions to the community. And I think everything that we advocate on this program, well, I know everything that we advocate on this program is motivated by the love in our heart that we have for our people, the issues that animate us, trying to do good by our ancestors and the sacrifices of blood and bone that they had to invest in order to carve this country from a wilderness. That's what motivates us on the show, and I think that we present that very professionally in terms of our opinion, analysis, and commentary, and we're very thankful for the success that this program has had over the course of the last 6 years, particularly the last two or three, when we've become pretty well-known commodity, and we continue to make news. We continue to affect politics in this country, and it's exciting because none of us, as we mentioned in the last segment, had any political training. None of us were trained broadcasters. None of us have political science degrees. We just do this because we do love doing it, and to know how many listeners now support this radio program, how many people tune in, the kind of media attention that we attract, that's something that you just don't look into. I think that we are, because we subscribe to the Christian faith, I think that the hand of divine providence is behind this show, and the success that we've enjoyed certainly should be perhaps this sounds cliche, but it should be given to God, and we're thankful for that. And that being said, you know, it's exciting to be as high profile as we are, but it is also discouraging from time to time to see that here are people like us, just as Eddie said, your regular average Joe. We're standing up on the front line. We're fighting in this culture war to make this country a better place. We're trying to do things honorably, and we put our faith sometimes in elected officials and other talking heads, and far too often we're betrayed. And, you know, that's disheartening to an extent. We need more people with the convictions and the faith of true heroes, men like Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson, Davy Crockett, these are the kind of people that we try to emulate, and even our best emulation of them is like filthy rags in comparison. But what happened to the country that used to produce men like that? That's what I want to know. And if men like that still existed, a lot of the problems we had that we have would cease to exist in fairly short order. We try to, you know, stand up and fight in the same honorable manner that they did. We're open, honest, perhaps to a fault sometimes, but open and honest. And again, eternally grateful to those who allow us to continue our work through their donations and prayers and support by various means. But, guys, I say all that because we're wrapping up the show. We spent the great deal of tonight's broadcast talking about the issues in Arizona, how men now are taken to the woodshed by a media who almost across the board hates this country and hates Christianity, hates the principles upon which this country was built.
I think they're taken to the guillotine.
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, you know, and then, you know, unfortunately, the our willing executioners are aided and abetted by our own people, because far too often we turn on one another and we hang each other out to dry just because we're afraid of being called that dreaded six-letter R-word. And I'll tell you this, and this comes from the bottom of my heart. You might think this is just a plug or whatever, but people really need to read my book. I think therein lies the prescription that would get us out. You know, it gives you the prescription to disarm this socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. You won't be afraid of being called these words anymore. We don't like it. I mean, God knows we don't enjoy being labeled as, you know, racist and, you know, this, well, everything we've been called. We think it's completely inapplicable. We think it's unfair and unwarranted. But at the same time, we're not going to allow the people who have always been opposed to our ideas to make us cower in a corner. In doing that, we provide then a disservice to the very people we are here to stand up for. And I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, long story short, and this is the point I'm trying to make, if we can show that kind of resolve, I guarantee you sheriffs can. I guarantee you elected officials can. If we can do it, anybody can do it. There's nothing that makes us special. There's nothing that makes us stand out. If we can build a show from scratch and make it a nationally known entity, if we can stand up through attacks, we have nothing less to risk than anyone else. We all have families. We all have careers.
Well, James, I think you're pretty special.
Thank you. Well, honestly, and, you know, you say that.
I tell you what, guys. I believe more now than I ever have that our show has, I believe it's had a far greater impact on society and politics and swaying people's minds and hearts than I ever imagined. I had no earthly idea. Guys, I bet you never thought in your wildest dreams that this program would cause such a stir. It could cost the sitting senator their seats. And with that, you know, James, at the break, I asked Winston a question, whether we have time or not. You and Winston both could answer it. Do you think we've swayed enough minds, we've educated enough people, for instance, that in the state of Arizona, this McCain being linked indirectly to the political cesspool, is that going to hurt him or help him in the election? I was asking Winston that, to give his assessment at the break, if we have enough time. I don't know.
Winston, we got 3 minutes, and I'm going to let you answer because I certainly have an opinion on that. But I do want to say this. I was thanking a lot of people. I want to thank the Liberty News Radio Network for allowing free speech to exist and allowing us our God-given right to the freedom of speech. We wouldn't be where we are today without the Liberty News Radio Network, and they should be included in those that we thank today. And we do thank them.
We did Winston, money bad, folks, because I tell you what, we sacrifice. We sacrifice our health, our time with our family. Winston and I both have had our share of health problems, and we've gone through. I know my brother Winston has had some hideous health problems, and he's trucked right along.
I had a great time with my heart attack. I don't know about you, but I'm afraid.
Winston had a heart attack a couple of months ago, and he was on the show the next night. But will it hurt McCain? Well, if McCain can't hurt McCain.
That is entirely up to J.D. Hayworth. If J.D. Hayworth is a smart politician, he will keep this alive, and he will keep John McCain keep John McCain distracted with dealing with charges of racism, and J.D. Hayworth can talk about the real issue, which is illegal immigration. But the issue of whether or not it's going to harm McCain is entirely up to J.D. Hayworth.
But that's exactly right. If J.D. Hayworth can use the cultural Marxist recipe, which has been entirely productive in achieving its goal, and keep McCain responding to hyperbole rather than addressing the issues, he can make hay out of this, no pun intended. But, you know, the thing is, if McCain and Babu had handled this right, this would be a dead story. All they had to do is say, listen, I'm glad we were on that show. I hope they invite us back. They're good people. They're Christians. They're conservatives. That's the kind of people we want to stand with. Now, we know McCain is never going to say anything like that, but Babu could have. And that the story would have died right there. But because they are responding to this in the way that the media was hoping they would, they have made themselves look bad. I guarantee you, the average conservative white voter in Arizona doesn't have a problem with Babu coming on this radio show. They do have a problem with him looking weak and foolish, and that's the way he's made him. So it could hurt them because of that, but not because they associate with us. I mean, that could only hurt them. It's not going to help them. They're standing in the media, but it's not going to hurt them with the real voters. But when they see weakness here, that could turn a few people off. And as you said, if Hayworth can really hit McCain and get him answering these accusations, and they have. McCain has issued several press releases responding to Hayworth's mandate that he dumped Babu, and if Hayworth can continue to get McCain to respond to these false accusations, then he could take the issue of, listen, I'm J.D. Hayworth, and I'm securing the border. I'm going to secure the border. McCain is Mr. Amnesty. Look at his career record. If Hayworth can talk about that while making McCain respond to whether or not a sheriff in some obscure county is a racist, he could win. And if he does, wouldn't that be great if the political cesspool could take one of the biggest advocates for amnesty the world has ever seen?
Wouldn't it, though?
And get him out.
Like,
but guys, listen.
One more time. I would like
out of time. Eddie, we're out of time.
Okay.
I love you both.
I love you guys.
And for Winston Smith, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, Keith Alexander, Bill Rowland, the entire staff and crew of the Political Cesspool Radio Program, we love you. God bless you. God keep you. And remember to live life the way we do, without retreat, surrender, or apology. If you appreciate the stand this show takes, remember to support our work at thepoliticalcesspool.org. I'm James Edwards, everybody. See you next week.
Thanks for joining us tonight in the Political Cesspool. To learn more about us or to make a donation to keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.